It's hard to imagine a world without music. For over 35,000 years, music has contributed to culture and enhanced our life on Earth. I'm Robin Applewood, producer, musician, DJ, sound engineer, and promoter with over 20 years of experience in the business. I interview other professionals from the Bay Area music scene and beyond. Meet the extraordinary humans that make up this intricate and robust industry. The talented and creative humans that hustle day in and day out to bring sounds to our earbuds and produce the live music experiences that become some of the best moments of our lives. All right. I am here with a very special human being today. She is a singer, a songwriter, a multi-instrumentalist. She plays piano, ukulele, guitar. She sings and makes your ears turn into cream. And she has fronted many bands that I've seen. She's a visual artist. She makes zines. She has a dance hour on Zoom. These are just a few of the things. I'm sure we'll find out some more. But I am very, very pleased to announce my guest today, Madeline Tasquan.
Hey, Robin.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm, we were just talking before we started recording, weren't we? I'll repeat it now, though.
We were feeling
a little half, you know, like deep breath, but only halfway, you know, like really curious what's about to happen with the whole, you know, actually getting to inauguration. Then I'll be able to just, you know, kick my heels up and...
Exactly. And so for context, this is just a couple days after the announcement that Joe Biden is the winner of the presidential election.
Yar. Yeah. Yeah. And some kind of, you know, I've been talking to my family in Canada and they're all, oh, you must be so happy. And, you know, here in California, we had a lot of propositions and some of the cooler ones didn't pass. And then a really nasty one did pass. So that's been also a little like tempering my stokedness around the election. It was my first time voting in a in an American election.
Well, thank you so much for your for being included.
Woo! Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, before I was always you know, the obnoxious Canadian yelling at people to phone bank and vote and stuff. You can phone bank as a permanent resident, but you can't vote, obviously. So. Yeah.
Well, I was hearing that a lot of people might be moving up to Canada potentially if the other person was elected. So I don't know. Would you be one of those people or are you planning on sticking
man.
It out?
Stick it out.
All right. I like that. Go down with the ship.
Plus, Canada isn't all that, you know. We like to. Canada shit stinks too, you know. Like,
Poop stinks everywhere.
Yeah, poop stinks everywhere, you know. And there's, you know, there's so many awesome people in this country. And I'd say all humans are great. It's just, I think it's more of a communication issue more broadly. But anyway, should we talk about music?
Yeah. And let's talk about awesome people, i.e. you. I'm really honored to have you here. I think the first time we met or at least had some interaction was at when I was putting on the Bay Vibes Music Fest. And you were fronting a band called Antiochia, which was an incredibly high-energy, unique, rhythmic, and just a phenomenon of a band, I have to say.
That was back... Where was that? That was at that venue that's no longer...
That was at... Yes, that was at one of those venues that no longer is. Pick which one. It was Cafe Kokomo.
Cafe Kokomo. Mm-hmm. Where was that?
Down in the Dog Patch-ish area.
Okay.
It was called something else, though, for a while, right? I don't know. They did a lot of salsa events, and then we had outgrown our previous venue, Pier 23, and so then they... it was just funky enough, and they had space to do a couple stages, which was part of what the Bay Vibes was all about, was having multiple stages, like a festival.
That was a
with
big
different
production.
Local bands going. It was a huge production. And so you guys played it. Everyone was like, wow. And that's when my first introduction to you. Now, I think, if I recall correctly, the next time I saw you play was you were doing a Man of Maddie set at Burning Man at Reverbia.
Right.
And that was your solo, it was a solo performance. And I was blown away by that. And that's when I realized, wow, this is a very dynamic and prolific individual. And just the fact that you could even just hold your own, speaking from experience, you know, as a singer-songwriter, it's not easy to hold a crowd with just yourself, especially if you're used to playing with a band. And so...
You know, finish your...
No, so I'd like... Yeah, so... Well, let's go with that.
Yeah, I was just, you know, just to play off what you were saying, it's Burning Man actually was, you know, I think if it's, you know, it's many things and we could go down that path talking about, you know, the pros and cons of Burning Man. But, you know, for me, it was, well, I did go with Antioquia the first time and we, you know, schlepped our crap around in the dust for, you know, all week long, sometimes playing 2-3 shows a day. So that was insane. But then when I went back to Burning Man after, you know, 4 years of touring all over the place with Antioquia, and basically that was kind of like my music degree, went back and it was just this perfect place where, you know, because I was scared shitless to perform solo, honestly. Like I was, before Antioquia, I couldn't even get on stage. I'd tried some open mics. I'd done karaoke a few times. And it was just always this traumatic experience where I couldn't get through my nerves before the end of the, like, you know, the 1 or 2, 3 songs I would get. And so it just compounded and compounded. And it got to the point where I could not get on stage without feeling like somebody was literally gripping my neck, you know, so much tension and emotional like expectation, and I want people to like me and all this stuff just held up in my throat. And so Antioquia helped me break through that, you know, having a bunch of dudes on stage and just being part of a musical team and it being a consensus, you know, based songwriting process and all that. And then and I remember actually listening back to some Antioquia recordings, so some live recordings, and going, holy shit, I spoke for 5 minutes. That was how my stage fright, it kind of took a new shape, and I was just like, talk and talk and talk and talk on the microphone, like I was in some kind of therapy session or something. But yeah, then, so anyway, where was I? Burning Man, yeah. It's just this perfect place where you're not going to see these people ever again. Half of them are off their faces. And I just, you know, at the beginning of that first week going out as Manna Matty, I was like, fuck it. By the end of the week, I'm going to figure out how to do this without freaking out, you know? So yeah, I did. By the end of the week, I'd done like 7 or 8 solo shows and felt okay with it.
I mean, I'd say you pulled it off great, because one thing that really has always struck me about you is your ability to command a room, and it really does feel like you're in your authentic presence as an artist, as a person, as, you know, a funky artist weirdo who's just, you know, living their dream and living their life and you know, taking risks and taking chances. And I always appreciate that about your shows and how you present yourself and your music, so...
Right on. Well, you might have caught me on one of the later Burning Man solo
ones.
Didn't go so great the first few times. I was just so nervous as fuck. But yeah, feeling being myself has always felt like I don't know, something about the performance, the performer audience rift about so much of, like, I don't know, in holding up my quotation marks, like the music business kind of just isn't my thing. I'm not bagging on other people, but just what I love about it is being with people in a room and being spontaneous and just kind of riffing off each other. And, you know, getting people to snap. And as I like to say nowadays, like, you know, I don't know, practice their innate musicality. You know, everybody has music in them. So kind of
That's
like
right.
Poking people to like sing and snap. And it also makes me feel, you know, more comfortable if everybody else is getting in on it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, you also play for kids too, right? You
yeah,
have the family
that's
bug band.
That's a freaking tough audience though, man. Uh-huh. Kids or no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. They're just on attention. Your every, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to keep their attention. That, yeah, with the Bug Family Band, it's great because we are all kind of, we all get to take turns. But yeah, we've played for some really young audience and totally bombed a few times before we figured out how to sort of pass the puck a little bit to, yeah, not lose their attention. And if they don't like something, they'll let you know too. You got to,
oh yeah,
you know?
They will.
Yeah. You got the lyrics wrong. That's not how it goes. Yeah.
Sorry to throw you under the bus, Grandma, but that's definitely how my grandma is. So I know she's always a good barometer of if my song is actually ready or not.
That's a blessing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good to have that.
You mentioned before you toured in France. Did you ever experience that? Because I went on some solo tours, you know, all through Western Europe, but in France in particular, I got a few really straight up, like, this was very nice, but never sing Edith Piaf again. Like, La Môme is not, it is off, out of bounds or whatever. You should not do that song. Really,
never got
up.
That, but I did get a lot of, because this was when Bush was president, so I got a lot of like, love the music and fuck you, yeah. Fuck Bush. So it's a very, very mixed route, but they like the music.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good.
So I want to touch on a couple of things. So we're talking about, you know, we haven't even caught up to you now. And also to remind everyone, this is, you know, still in the middle of the pandemic of COVID-19. And so one of the things I'm really fascinated by is to like understand Madeleine Tascon. Tascon.
Oui, Tascon. C'est parfait.
Oui, c'est parfait. Merci beaucoup. And so you can find her there, and it has links to her Patreon and her YouTube, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. So, and I would highly recommend it. I want to find out about you pre-COVID and then you post-COVID. And so if you could just give me a quick rundown of what your life looked like before the pandemic, music, yada yada, if you don't mind going into that place just real quick, and then we'll talk about what you've done to adapt and get creative, as you are a very creative individual. So I'm super fascinated to find out what you're doing these days to get by, to cope, to adapt, to what they say, pivot, all those buzzwords.
Mm-hmm. Man, isn't it fascinating? Like, everybody's story is so different, and it's so easy to, I don't know. It's been easy for me to assume that other people are having the same experience. I guess that's just the human nature to be like, yeah, this is great. You know, because for me, honestly, it's been really great. I burnt out so hard in 2018. You know, long story short, my back went out after moving out of my house, after I had to cancel the last 3 weeks of a 6-week tour I was on, after 4 months five weeks of a full band tour with Sarah Band. Anyway, I burnt out. I wound, like, my back was out. I didn't get out of bed for a month in November 2018. Wound up doing a life coaching certification in 2019 and deciding to take a hiatus off my performance, which at the time, like, I look back on it now and it was the best, most obvious thing that I needed to do. But I look back at the time and it was the scariest decision that I felt like I'd ever made, you know, like, but what if, you know, people will forget me, and all these what ifs that were just bullshit. So anyway, I took the year off, and then I just thought, I had always said, oh, I'm going to take a year off. That means next year I'll be back on, you know? And so I kind of started to go about being back on in 2020. And, you know, some of that was just genuine, like, oh, I miss, you know, certain aspects of performing. And then I think some of it was just obligation or expectation. And so I was going to be in Montreal I was going to go up and visit family in BC for April. I was going to have a recital of all my music coaching students at my house. We had a whole, you know, we were going to sing Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, and we had this whole thing. And then March 14th came, and that was the start of the shelter in place thing. So I was planning to be up in Canada, bouncing up there, and then coming back here. And my vague plan was to pack up all my stuff and drive to Montreal and spend 6 months in Montreal focusing on building my life coaching business and recording an album. And that didn't happen, clearly. So for me, it slowed me down in a way that I've never let myself slow down. Ever. I just have always been on to the, like, what's the next thing that's going to happen? What am I planning for? Where am I schlepping my gear to now? Like, and yeah, I was pretty damn sick of it, but didn't realize it until I wasn't allowed to go anywhere. and had to like chill out and do nothing.
Right.
So yeah, in the first few weeks, there was a lot of like disappointment and, you know, plan shifting, as I'm sure a lot of people, you know, I still do very much miss my family. This is like, what, month six or something? Has it been March?
I think it's nine.
What?
Yeah.
What? April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. Yeah.
We're wow. getting there. We're getting up to nine. Yep.
Yeah. So it's been over a year since I've seen any of my family. So I do miss them dearly. They're up in BC, yeah. So it's pretty easy to get up there usually. But the borders are closed and I'll have to quarantine if I cross them mm-hmm. and stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just sunk right into it after the initial disappointment. And I knew a lot of people were in a worse financial place than I was. So I kind of stepped back and luckily I didn't have a bunch of, you know, I had no tour planned. If it had been 2 years ago, this had happened, it would have looked completely different. So I can only imagine, you know, for folks who had a bunch of work lined up. So I thankfully was just, you know, I had just enough saved up, to, you know, feel okay. And, you know, I have my Patreon page, which is a kind of a constant, you know, source of support and just like stability where I don't need to, you know, wonder what percentage of my soul am I selling this month to like corporate gigs or wedding music or whatever it is anymore. Yeah. So I just like started gardening and, I don't know, reading and trying to figure out how to feel my emotions. And yes, I got on the sourdough train for sure. I didn't even know it was a train until I was on it for a few months. And then I found out it was like a big thing. Yeah.
The sourdough train, huh?
Yeah. Did you hear about that whole, apparently a lot, roller skating apparently has been a big thing with our, you know, 39. I'm like the oldest millennial, but I'm still a millennial. But yeah. Apparently sourdough is a big COVID thing. Everybody jumped on the fermentation bus.
All right.
Yeah. So I'm actually working on some bread upstairs right now.
Working on some bread. So yeah. You went from making bread to baking bread.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
All right. And that's what we'll call this episode.
Sure. I'm down. Yeah. And gosh, what else? I don't know. It just really let me slow down in a way that I wasn't even able to do in hiatus time, because there was still always the tempting, you know, oh, should I go out, or oh, I don't want so-and-so to think I don't, you know, care about them. I should probably go to their birthday party, or when I don't actually feel like doing anything. So it feels like I might be going into 2021 actually ready to come out of a hiatus instead of just thinking I'm ready, you know?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. What about musically? Like, how have you been getting creative and expressing that musical outlet, that aspect of yourself?
Yeah, lots of hours at the piano and at the guitar, starting songs and never finishing them.
Yeah. Touché.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually thinking of starting a songcraft. Like, I don't know if maybe you can help me bounce this right now. Maybe by the time this comes out, I will have figured it out. But a book club that is also a songwriting challenge. Like, you read a book as a group and then everybody writes a song inspired by it in any way, like at all. It could be just using the every third word or some, you know.
Cool. Well, if it's reading a book, I'll see you in a year.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't read a full novel in 1 month in a long ass time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe some motivation will come out of that.
Yeah. So I don't know, something to basically, I love accountability setups with buddies. So I've been using a lot of the time to just kind of get clear on what I want as a musician and kind of parse through some of the stuff I thought I wanted and figure out what actually gives me joy. And yeah, just kind of embrace the, you know, in the intro, you mentioned a big like smattering of things that I dig doing, and those change over time, and just, you know, getting into more of all of that and embracing that doing one thing will never, you know, scratch all my itches, itch all my scratches.
both work. I think that your video is I see a rainbow, which is cool. Maybe you just turned into a rainbow. I wouldn't be surprised.
Sometimes that spontaneously happens when I get excited. I turn into rainbows.
You turn into a rainbow.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we were just talking about that, the dynamicism and being prolific. I think that, you know, if I may stroke your ego a little bit more.
I'd rather not, but
do
what you
must. You know, you don't have to do any of the bragging here. So
just skip ahead, everyone.
Well, you have such a charisma about you that I think in a way, you know, I have a lot of, and we share a lot of artist friends and musician friends, and a lot of them, it's like, you wouldn't really know until you start talking to them. But I think there's just something about you and your energy and your presence that is, it's like I could see you walking down the street and think like that person is an artist, or just start talking to you. I would somehow pick up on the fact that you are a creative person. And
it's the body odor.
Is it? Well,
it's the smell.
I guess it takes one to know one then, huh? I'm just like, I recognize that smell. I have that funk too. Something's funky. Yeah.
Funky in COVID times.
Yeah. I've always been impressed with your ability to also have all these different kind of like personalities. So you do this Emma Goldman dance hour, which I got to enjoy just the other night. And it's you, but it's also like you get into, in some way, another character too. And it's I'm just really impressed with that, with how you're able to kind of express yourself in all these different ways.
Cool. Thanks, man. I feel like I spent a lot of my time on this planet figuring out how to conform, or I don't know if conform is the right word, but figuring out how to be like, what's the elevator pitch, or what's the, you know, what are you about, or like, you know, just the tagline, just makes me want to pull my hair out and scream.
What's your brand?
Yeah, I like that exactly. One. I want to shoot myself. I'm actually just, rehashing a song that I wrote earlier in the pandemic times about that. It says something like, I'm not a one or a zero. Please don't try to calculate me. You know, what's your brand? It mentions brand. That's what made me think of it. And just,
yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that was one of the kind of epiphanies that Taking a Hiatus let me have in 2019, and actually, yeah, look, thinking back, it was okay. So there's this book, Refuse to Choose. And I remember in November, 2018, when I like really couldn't get out of bed, I remember Googling, or nowadays I'm trying to coin the term DuckDuckGoing. So I was DuckDuckGoing, although at the time it was Google. I was DuckDuckGoing, like people who do lots of things or something.
Uh-huh.
And somehow through the internet rabbit hole, I fell upon this book that Barbara Sher wrote. That's S-H-E-R for anybody who's interested, Barbara Sher. And it's called Refuse to Choose, the Revolutionary Program to Do Everything That You Love, or something like that. Refuse to Choose is the main title. And I was like, yes, buy. I bought it for whatever, $7 used. Came a few days later, thanks to the magic of the big... our overlords, who shall remain unnamed, who we've all made billions richer in this fucking pandemic. And so I started reading chapter one and wept through the whole first chapter with joy tears, like, finally I found my people. And and then just read the whole thing cover to cover and got to sleep at like 7 a.m. or something. Just found my... what I needed to hear at that time, which is, it's okay that you are feeling like giving up on music right now because you want to do something else. You don't know what that is yet. That's also okay.
Yeah.
Because I had done an architecture degree back in the day, and then I flipped into music, and I got a lot of flack for it. Like, people were like, what? You know, I just got, yeah. from well-meaning people. It's not that they're, you know, they think you're a piece, they genuinely care about you and are wondering if you're, you know, throwing something away and are concerned and all that stuff.
I know that which of you speak.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, oh, so you're just not going to do, like when I went and took clowning classes in Montreal, just because I felt I got on a clowning tip, you know, it was seemed like a good thing. I wound up learning tons of stuff that I use in performance, like in music, like just the simple thing of sticking your hands out further from your body. It like from far away, it's a visual, it makes people feel comfortable and draws them in. So just like little tidbits like that. But at the time, at my Bay Area music community, a lot of them were like, oh, so you're not going to do music anymore? Like, oh, you're switching. So we're just so programmed from a young age. I mean, it's getting better now, I think. People are starting to hip to, you know, the importance of having both the specialist and the generalist on any well-functioning team. But, yeah, I just, we've all been asked a million times, what do you do or what are you going to be when you grow up? Or, you know, we're so programmed to try and figure it out, so...
To even just have an answer.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah. That's, you know, so it's interesting because I think you just touched on a few of these like pre-scripted questions that I had here that I was kind of planning on having a bit more of like just locked into my brain. But, well, one thing is this, is that, you know, I think hopefully a lot of the people listening to this podcast are, you know, also musicians and maybe they are also in some way seeking some inspiration and guidance. And so I wonder if, you know, if you might be able to encapsulate some of those messages and some of the things that you have been doing that have been successful for you that might be of use or of value to someone listening that is maybe in that space where they're just like, oh, I should just give up. And aside from just saying that's okay to feel that way, are there some other suggestions that are counter to that, that maybe someone could get some a little nugget from?
There's so much stuff. I've made so many mistakes. And this is like one of my big whys that I've realized now is I love talking to other musicians and like hopefully helping other musicians or, you know, it applies to a lot of creative outlets or, you know, professions to help them avoid some of those mistakes. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like as you were asking the question, three or four popped in. We'll see how many come back to my hamster brain. But one, ask for help. Like if you're the type of person who's good at doing a lot of different things or just loves learning new skills, like that's, you know, I need to keep learning and I love that. So I don't, you know, I'm finally proud of the fact that I'm not really a master of any particular thing. Part of my brain is going, yes, you are. Like, you know, so anyway, we'll just ignore her for a second. I'll self-deprecate. But
it's about, you know, humility.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it, like figuring out that you can't possibly, you're going to burn out if you do everything yourself. And it's just more fun to work with people. So asking for help and like nurturing those relationships where you're helping other people and lifting each other up. Building long-term relationships with people that you love and respect and lifting them up, in, you know, for hopefully not just the selfish reason of then they'll get your back, you know, but
that resonates with me.
Yeah. And it goes for fans too. Like I'm embarrassed to admit it, but at some point, well, most of my, years of being in bands and like the hustle or whatever, I really did think of the numbers before I thought of the individual. Like, oh, I got 10 more Facebook likes. And it was just sort of this like faceless mass. And it sort of ended up feeling really alone. So while I would have these like one-on-one conversations with people and really appreciate the feedback they were giving me, say in an email, like, oh, I love this song. Thank you so much for this or that or the other tune. It helped me through this, that or the other. And I would enjoy those interactions. I didn't think to kind of apply that across the board and just think of like, you know, having 200 really close, like ongoing relationships with 200 humans who genuinely appreciate, I would take that any day for the length of whatever my career as a musician over, you know, 10,000 plays on Spotify from people you'll never meet. And mm-hmm. yeah, and actually the, you know, it as a strategy too, it works. You know, it's not just more fun as a musician. It also sure. actually works better. So
quality over quantity.
Yeah. Yeah. And remembering that those people are, I don't know, I feel so shallow in admitting it, but it's so true. I just was so focused on this. And it kind of comes back to what I thought I wanted. I thought I wanted to be touring all the time. I thought I wanted to be, you know, to be highly sought after musician, you know, playing big concerts, published in Pitchfork magazine. And when I finally took time off, I was like, wow, I don't actually want any of that shit. Like, it has no, it was so empowering to realize, like, wow, no, I don't care what the fucking cool kids at Pitchfork think about my music. I want to make music that feels good to me and feels good to my friends and the people that are attracted to it, you know?
Yes.
So that's kind of what just blurted out. I know there were a few other things. No, what was the beautiful. Question, by the way?
Doesn't matter.
Did I answer it?
Yeah, you did, actually. No, we've covered a lot of, thank you so much. And your insights are actually helping me a lot, even just in my process.
Well, great questions.
You know,
too,
I hope
by the
that
way.
People
Interviews
listen to this
be.
Podcast and really get a lot of quality from it. And, you know, when I put this podcast out into the world, I'm not really trying to make it the next big thing. I just really want to, you know, reach people that really will get some value from this information and these conversations. And so that really does resonate with me. Thank you.
Yay. Thank
so
you for the great
one
questions.
More thing that you just, that you're touching on that I think is if you have a moment.
I have plenty of moments. Yeah.
Okay.
What time is it? Let's see here. Yeah, I asked my partner to fold the dough, so we're good for uh-huh. another.
All right. Yeah. The sourdough train is rolling on its own.
Yeah,
okay,
man.
Good.
Yeah.
All aboard. So I think that like what you're touching on is kind of this like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a little bit more about community over industry. Like the value, the inherent value in a community that's maybe greater than an industry. We're talking about like, you know, branding and like these, you know, these entities, these forces having to conform, you know, to get these, the masses' attention. But then there's this aspect of like just having enough, just enough, but it's like a quality where there's a sharing and there's like a humility and a up and lifting each other up. Now, would you say like, can you just speak to that a little bit? Like, I know we actually share, you know, community. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Great question. Yeah, community versus industry. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, yeah. You know, I guess my brain is, I'm probably going to listen back to this at some point and go, oh man, I wish I'd touched on that or this or the other. But
we'll do another one.
Yeah, we'll do another one down the road. Yeah, but it's like where my brain's at right now, the kind of specific thing I'm really thinking about a lot is just how I've kind of let down the people. Like I had this sort of momentum of awesome people who were really like digging my stuff. And I kind of thought, I have momentum. This means I'm gonna ba ba ba. And I applied all these ideas of what I thought I wanted onto that and kind of almost like projected it into the future of like, I remember when, you know, just all these like ego trip things that just bear no relationship to what I actually wanted if I gave myself the time to fucking figure that out. So I kind of missed the opportunity to stick with those people. And so now a lot of those people have just like dropped off. I've dropped off the map completely. They're not interested anymore, or they're just, we haven't been in touch. So like one of my goals for this coming year is just to like rekindle some of those. Cause like I went to Europe 3 times and met so many wonderful people. So many of the people like, you know, in the same towns too, that I kind of started to build these relationships with, and I just have been out of touch for like 6 years, you know? So yeah, just kind of like building that, and yeah, community in a local sense, but also, you know, it's so cool how close you can feel to people online without actually sniffing them, you know, or getting their whatever pheromones or, you know, being seeing them face to face.
I can smell you.
You can smell me. Damn.
Oh yeah. Yep.
You got that Zoom Pro, like the Smell-O-Vision.
Smell-O-Vision.
Damn.
Yeah.
So just, yeah, community. I don't know what to say about that right now. It just feels like I'd rather have, you know, the 100 people who I keep in regular touch with and just, and I think maybe part of, I'm thinking out loud here, but I think part of it for me too is that I haven't really been prolific in a music release sense. And a big part of that for me was this isn't good enough to reach that audience that big chunk of me thought I wanted to reach. You know, this isn't good enough for a Spotify playlist. This isn't good enough for that, the other. And pretty soon I'm just like saying this is not good enough as I'm recording the vocal takes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just not helping at all, you know? So I've written like 60 songs or something and I have 30 minutes of released music. So right. It feels great to be in a place of like, okay, what are my actual whys? Like, I love hipping people to their own innate musicality. I care a shitload about water, about the planet that we're living on. I care about women. I care about the, like, everything that's going on with the, you know, how we're treating other countries, how we're treating Mexico and the kids in cages. And, you know, there's just all this real shit happening. And I kind of lament all the time that I spent thinking about, I need to get to this huge audience before I can affect change in those areas. No, it was total bullshit. It's like when the like mirage lifts and you're like, wow, how did I think that way? You know? So I'm glad I'm kind of on the other side of that whole,
yeah,
I must be, you know, I'm holding finger quotes up, successful in order to make a change. No, well, just
I find that
be yourself.
Very inspiring. Yeah, it does sound like that. You're just authentically who you are and caring about the things that are dear to you. And so I commend you. And I think that's probably a good note to wrap up on, unless you wanted
to slip something else in.
Okay, go.
I have to add something. Just to say that it's like on, it's not like I'm fully, that's not fully behind me. It's always there. Like when I'm about to do a social post, who's going to think, you know, what am I going to say that's wrong? I think that's a big part of the learning that's come this year around, you know, like examining my own whiteness and culture and, you know, doing my bit to break down the white supremacy delusion is like how those, you know, colonizations pop up in our everyday actions. Like who's going to think I'm a good person or a bad person when I post this, like being afraid to do something wrong. And so it's still very much there. And I didn't want to leave pretending that I, you know, had figured that one out. It's just, I can at least see it now and I can see when it pops up usually, you know.
That's beautiful. Yeah. My new mantra in life is I'm a work in progress.
Yes. Oh, so. Oh man, we got to do another one. Well, I just always love talking with you about life and the universe and everything.
Thank you so much for making the time to speak with me and be a part of this podcast.
My pleasure.
Madeline Tasquin, and you can find her at madelinetasquin.com, the multiverse, right? Or is it the
I just added multiverse in there because people can find my Music for Life one-on-one coaching. And if I do this book club songcraft thing, that'll be through there. And Spotify links and YouTube and all the whole kit and caboodle is on there.
Yeah, it's perfect because it really fits what we're talking about or how I've been showering you with these compliments about how you're dynamic and prolific. And so it makes a lot of sense. And go check her out. And thank you so much for your time. And I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Robin.
And I hope to do this again with you sometime.
Much love. Yes.
And with that, here's a snippet of Maddie's track, Don't Should Yourself.